Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Right, it is the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. You can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. The phone number here in the studio, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Captain's Log, Stardate 07092023. I think I got everything out of the way.
Sure.
I think so. It's been a few weeks since I've been here on a Sunday.
Give them the phone number.
Phone number. Like 603-283-6160.
Yeah, call in.
Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind.
And now we have like a successfully married person on the show.
Yeah.
So we can give out relationship advice.
Well,
that's Bonnie. I don't want to step on Bonnie's toes. That's kind of her department.
Let's define successfully married.
I mean, they got married.
Yeah.
They did, but was it...
They're still married.
Was it...
It's been a week.
Was it states involved or not state involved? Did you get the license?
Yeah, we did get the license.
You got the license.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I was very on the fence about it, but...
This was Matt's idea?
No, it was my idea. Well, he was very...
Did one of you need to get on the other's, like, medical insurance or something? Okay.
Yeah, so I think probably... Like, he was open to whatever I wanted to do, but I'm the one with the... insurance providing job, and I think he kind of wanted to benefit on that a little bit.
Oh, so was it you getting on his insurance? It was him getting on yours.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
What a mooch.
So, but, and, you know, I was thinking about it. I really didn't want to just because of my, you know, philosophies.
Yeah.
But I figured with us having kids, and, you know, I've heard stories from both sides of the spectrum where, you know, we were married but not state involved and it was fine, and then other people were like, well, we didn't get the state involved and it wasn't fine, you know, so
it's based
on the circumstances. I figured it would be easiest for us just to do the horrible statist
what
thing.
What did the horrible statist license cost you?
Like $30, I think.
Okay, all right. I mean, that's still $30, but...
One of the things that's frequently brought up with that is like, oh, they're not going to let you visit him in the hospital.
Right.
Right. But I've never...
Isn't really legit.
Right. I've been in the hospital, and everyone comes whenever they want. Like, no one's been kicked out of my room because they couldn't
provide basically, you know, some of the concerns were if we had kids, you know, and something happens to me, it would be easier for him to, like, resume custody, you know, vice versa. And then, like, if something happens, to him, we don't have to go through. Because there are ways to, like, you know, do the power of attorney and all of those things. But it's also a bunch of legal stuff and a bunch of state stuff. So either way, to set it up so it's seamless if something happens to one of us. And, you know, in the event that we have children or we have assets together, whatever. It seemed like the easiest way and the way to keep the state as uninvolved as possible was to just get legally married, and then we wouldn't have to do all of the other mumbo-jumbo.
The way to keep the state uninvolved as possible is to immediately involve them right from the get-go.
I'm so glad that you guys had the wedding during Forkfest.
Yep, because Forkfest is infinitely cooler than Porkfest.
It's certainly
no,
in
more
my
pork
opinion.
Fash now.
Yeah, pork fash.
Yeah,
oh
pork
my
fash.
Gosh.
Yeah,
You might have heard.
Like, I specifically didn't do my pre-EP release listening thing on the same day as your wedding, because I was like, I don't want to step on y'all's toes. You guys are...
You should have done it at my wedding.
Well, in retrospect, I actually said that last week on the air, and I'm like, in retrospect, I probably should have just been like, hey, can I just do this, like, during your reception? Because, like, my speakers were already there, and, like, there was a stage there, and I could have easily put up the, you know, the projector for the videos and all that stuff. But I'm really glad that I didn't in retrospect, because, you know, Matt got that big ass tent that him and I shared, and, you know, we did
that was cool.
We did, like, casino night and in a bar, you know, all
they
that
had
fun
a couch
stuff.
And everything.
Yeah, and like that
a
came,
real couch too.
That came together very anarchically. Like, we had almost no plans other than, hey, I'm bringing this, I'm bringing that. Whatever, you know, like, we didn't have lights. Lights just mysteriously showed up. We paid for them, of course, but like somebody's like, "Yeah, I got some lights," and somebody donated the couch, and like, yeah, it just sort of became a thing of its
donated
own.
Donated the couch. Somebody was trying to get rid of her couch.
Well, no. We specifically were like, look. We appreciate you bringing this couch, but we don't want to be stuck with this thing. You understand that by bringing it here, at the end of this thing, it's your responsibility to get rid of. And they were like, sure.
Okay.
That guy died.
Oh,
it was White's couch.
I didn't know it was White's couch.
Yeah. So
he knew he was... No, right.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, that was weird in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, Marley and somebody else ended up taking care of it, you know?
Yeah.
I was it wasn't... I didn't make the deal. I just, you know, Matt made the deal. And so I warned him. I'm like, look, dude, we're going to get stuck with this thing. We're going to have to take a chainsaw, cut it up, and burn it or something.
That's
Throw it
to
the bonfire.
Yeah. That's what I thought. But then we missed out on doing that. I talked to a couple of people who have those seasonal... trailers up there, and I was like, look, it's not even my responsibility, but I don't want Rogers Campground to look down upon any of the attendees. I don't want to leave, like, this rogue couch just there, and so we arranged for it to be handled, and then I followed up, and sure enough, it was handled. So we did the responsible thing. We took it. They took care of it. We communicated with everybody. We were prepared to take care of it ourselves, that is, drag it down to the dumpster and, like, maybe bust it in half or whatever we needed to do to make it, like, sort of fit. But we didn't have to do any of that, and in fact, it went back to one of the seasonal campers who, you know, needed a sofa or whatever. So
it all works out.
And it wasn't like the sofa was, like, dirty and dingy. Like, it was in somebody's living room.
Yeah.
Like, kids were playing on it when they went to go get it.
I sat on it. It was pretty comfortable.
It was.
Somebody, it was a nice couch.
Our sometimes co-host Nobody ended up passing out on it one night.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a photo
of
that
somewhere. I'm not surprised about that. Yeah.
I hope you sat on it before he got on there.
That checks out.
He's the last person to use the couch.
Yeah, I want it to be on the record that I sat on it before he passed out on it.
There is video of the EP pre-release. There's also music video still yet to come for the EP. So thank you to everybody who's either gone to CaptainKickass.com or to your favorite music provider app. I'm everywhere. I'm on, like, Pandora. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Deezer. I'm on, I don't even know. They gave
Apple
me
Music?
Apple Music,
oh,
iTunes.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
I'm everywhere. Just go search for Captain Kickass or Eleutheromania.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to spell, but if you type in E-L-E, there's not a lot of words that start with E-L-E, right?
Oh, and I'm sure there's a lot of Captain Kickasses out there, so I'm sure if you type that in. A bunch of people will
There's
come up.
A surprising amount of, like, if you just put in to the major search engine, I'm not going to name it, but if you just put Captain Kickass into that and, like, click on videos or click on all or whatever, there's a surprising amount of not me.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, you didn't trademark it?
No.
You didn't copyright that?
No, but I have the URL. Right. So I've got CaptainKickass.com, which is far more important than any trademark or copyright. And also, too, at the pre-release listening / watch party, somebody was inquiring about copyright. When you find my stuff on all these platforms, it's going to say copyright, whatever, 2023, all rights reserved, all that kind of crap. That being said, during last week's Beard Talk Live, I played the whole EP.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out there. If you need to go pirate it or whatever, go find last week's episode of Beard Talk Live, and all three songs were played during that. So if anybody wants to give me any crap about, oh, copyright, like, it's already out there. It's already on a publicly available stream. I put it out there myself.
I've already burned, like, four CDs. I'm selling them for $15 each. So
Off of her lawn.
Yep.
You've got like a kick-ass EP stand instead of a lemonade stand. Yeah.
So I have a general question about the copyright.
All right.
Because there are other copyright levels available to use besides the standard copyright.
Mm.
And is there a reason why you didn't choose one of those? You know, like the Creative Commons or Michael Fiend's BIPCOT, no government license?
Yes, it's okay. Because I wanted to use a distributor who would get me on all of the major platforms.
And they require copyright.
They require you to have that, and there was no option. It was just standard copyright across the board. They also do some things where the distributor does. They've provided me some promo videos, which I've put up on both my Twitter and my Facebook page as time has gone on. I'll put up like one every other day or something like that. So there's some pretty cool videos that they made. One of them's got like the Mandalorian and Grogu, the little baby Yoda guy.
Baby Yoda.
Yeah, yeah. So fun stuff. Oh, one of them's also got, it's like my music over the dancing bit from Clerks 2.
Okay.
Right, it's super awesome. Like, they gave me like some other stuff. They give you some avenues to go get spins, so you can actually put your music up with other independent artists who will like rate your stuff, thumbs up, thumbs down, or they'll comment on it, that kind of stuff. And then based on their feedback, it'll get you on like other playlists and stuff.
You gotta get into like some jukeboxes around town.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be really sweet, actually. The distributor, because I'm an independent artist, I had to find an independent distributor.
Got it.
And there's only a few of them.
Okay.
Right? And so I had to go, well, okay, who's going to do the most for me and who's going to be the most kick-ass? Yeah. And so I wanted to be on all the platforms because everybody prior to the release was asking, like, are you going to be on Spotify? Are you going to be on Pandora? Are you going to be on Deezer? Are you going to be on YouTube? Are you going to be on iTunes? Are you going to be on, right, name your platform here. And there's a list of, I don't know, like 35 different platforms that I'm on. I just got an email today that says I'm successfully on Deezer, which I was already on. I already verified that through somebody that I know who's an international person who has a Deezer account. Believe it or not, most of the Deezer listeners are from France.
Okay.
France.
Another thing that would be cool is using the recommended engines. You know, like when you put in Captain Kickass into Pandora or Spotify.
Yes.
Who were they putting you in the graces of? You know what I mean? Like, oh, if you like Captain Kickass, you might like...
Oh, who are they, like, recommending in addition? That, I don't know.
That'd be cool to find out.
That remains to be seen. So, I want to ask the listeners, actually...
If you like Captain Kickass, you might like Nickelback.
If you're listening, I've spent all my budget on making this EP and then making the videos and then, you know, producing, like, the USB cards that I had available. I sold out of those at Porkfest and Forkfest.
I bought two myself.
I have ordered... We'll call it the second edition. It's a slightly different variation. Same artwork, but it's not branded specifically for Porkfest and Forkfest. I ordered some more of those. I'll be offering those for sale on my Bandcamp page. But what I'm saying is I have no budget for marketing. I was lucky enough that the founders of this program, Free Talk Live, got me hooked up with The Voice, Zeus himself.
Okay.
And in fact... I can play it for you right now. I'm so happy with this particular spot that I'm just going to play it for everybody. Stand by.
Eleutheromania.
Awesome.
The insatiable desire for freedom.
We have been enslaved for all our lives.
It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass.
The next ones they will.
Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Authority to end our.
Zeus's body count probably like right in the little chamber.
So I'm actually a little jealous about that because he totally puts my little like advertisement thing I did for you to shame. Like, I can't compete with that. Are
Nobody
you kidding?
Can.
I can't
point.
Compete with
like,
that.
Like, look, we all do this, right?
Yeah.
And then I also do And I'm not doing as much of it as I used to, but I do, like I did an audiobook for Alu Axelman.
Yeah.
What's it called? It's called the Plague That Shall Not Be Questioned.
Yeah.
And so I've done that. I've done voice work for, I don't know, man, like a couple thousand different phone systems. So these businesses that have these, like, thank you for calling, blah, blah, blah. For sales, press 1. For this, press 2. I did thousands of those. That work is actually dying off thanks to AI.
Yeah.
Right? They've been able to manufacture these, like, robot voices to sound way more human day after day after day. And so now, instead of having to contract, like, send an approved script to a guy like me, or Zeus, for that matter, who, you know, to read it, record it, and then upload it to the phone system in the appropriate file type, like, that's all gone away now. All you need to do is log in and change the type, right? So if Dave quits and you've hired Bob, you just erase Dave and put Bob in there, and the voice magically changes and sounds human. And I'm like, oh, man, that's putting me out of work, right? But, like,
welcome to the club.
All that being said, you can't replicate Zeus. That guy's got the voice. He's got the magic voice. So I'm so happy that Ian put me in touch with him. We were able to get this thing done. And so there's
that's really awesome.
There's an audio commercial that I, of course, am going to use wherever I can possibly use it, because
that's great.
It's just so awesome. So anyway, my ask for the listeners is,
Street Team,
go to Cap. Yeah, I need promo.
Yeah.
Right? I need marketing. I need you to go share either the Captain Kickass website, or, you know, dive into your favorite platform. If you like Spotify, go grab the Spotify link. If you like Pandora, grab the Pandora link. Share that stuff.
Tweet it. Thread it.
Yeah.
Whatever they're calling that thing.
All that kind of stuff, because, like, I have no money to put into the actual marketing and advertisement of this thing. So any help I can get from our listeners, I'd appreciate, specifically because it is freedom-oriented heavy metal, right? This is stuff that I wrote specifically. It's called Eleutheromania, which means the insatiable desire for freedom. I wrote it specifically from the perspective of, well, sitting in this chair, basically, from voluntarists, anarchists, libertarians. If you want to see more of that music, if you want to hear more of that type of music, and not just from me, but from other people too, please share this stuff wherever you can, because not only will it help me, but it will, like, the more of that happens, the more likely it is that I'm going to continue to do this kind of stuff in the future. And if you know me at all, you know that my stuff gets better the more I do it. So
that was
going
to be my question. Does going through this process make you want to do more of it? Or is it like, whew, glad I got that out of my system, now for other things?
I mean, a bit of both, really. Okay. Like, these three songs, like, some of the ideas I've had for a long time, like Words, the track number 2, that was just me going and finding the most divisive words in the English language. I ran across, like, an article that was all about that, and then I went and I searched for more stuff that talked about divisive language. I compiled this big, big list, and then I had to, like, whittle it down to, like, oh, what can I make rhyme, or what, you know, moves with the beat? How does it have this many syllables? Oh, I need a word with, like, 2 syllables here, but 4 syllables over here. That kind of thing. So I had to really work at it to make it happen. But the song Words is literally just, there's like a chorus, but, like, the verses are just a list of words that are amongst the most divisive words in the English language, instead of, you know, the most unifying, right? So it's just like a warning. Hey, watch out for language.
I don't remember hearing the N-word on that track. You missed the number one word.
That was not on any of the lists, believe it or not, as divisive language.
Surprise.
I was surprised as well that was not on any of the lists. And, like, that song is surprisingly PG.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any cussing in track 2. The whole EP is labeled explicit lyrics, because there is.
Oh, good. I wouldn't have bought in it if it wasn't.
Oh, nice. Yeah. there is that.
Me and Hutch
got that going for it, which is nice. So, again, yeah, if you guys like it, if you have a favorite track, share that stuff. I have videos forthcoming. There are 3 music videos, and then there's also a video of the pre-release party at Forkfest, the listening watch party, which came out way better than I thought it was going to. There was a crisis when it was going on. We were about to do the show, if you will, and everybody started showing up, and I couldn't find my micro SD cards. I packed them. No. I packed them. I put them somewhere where I wouldn't forget where I put them, and then promptly forgot where I put them. So I'm scouring through all my stuff. I'm looking through my luggage. I'm looking through the U-Haul van that I rented. You know, I'm looking everywhere. I can't find it anywhere.
It's in a dirty sock.
Finally, I go to
always is.
I go to Chris of Think Penguin, and I go, "Hey, man, do you have any micro SD cards?" And he's like, "No, I sure don't." I'm like, "Do you have a camera, like a video camera?" And he's like, "Yes, actually, I do. Do you have plenty of room on that card?" He's like, "Actually, I do." He brought his camera, his tripod over. He recorded the whole thing, and it came out better than even the gear that I had that I was going to record.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I just magically had the volumes right because I played along with my guitar to the videos and all that kind of thing. And I, you know, whatever happened, happened. And I watched the thing back like 2 days after I got back from the fest because it took me that long to unpack everything and unload the van and all that crap. So I finally watched the whole thing back. It's only a half hour long, so it's relatively short for like a pre-release sort of party. And I watched it back, and I was just like, man, this is good, because it contains all the videos, but it's also got the participation of everybody there,
mm-hmm.
plus, you know, a pseudo-live event with me playing the guitar. So it was entertaining. It's cool to see that I was able to pull something like that off in a tent, in yeah. a campground, right? Most indie musicians they'll book a gig at their favorite local indie venue and invite all their family and friends and stuff like that, but I was able to do it at Rogers Campground during Forkfest. So while, yes, Nikki, your wedding to Matt did...
You were tied back in.
You were the headline, right?
I guess so, yeah.
But I was the closer.
Yeah.
Right? So it was that Sunday night, Porkfest Eve is when we did it. So a whole bunch of people who were attending Porkfest anyway showed up a day early to, you know, get their stuff set up so they could open for whatever, you know, thing they were putting on the next day. And so it was well attended. Toby Keith even showed up.
Yeah, that's true. I saw him with my own eyes. Yeah.
And I made some joke about we don't allow country or Western music in here.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a cardboard cutout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, somebody brought in a cardboard cutout of Toby Keith into the place.
Yeah, I'm a country girl, so I take offense to that. I'm also a metal girl, so
You take offense to country or Western or both?
You trying to discriminate against or
I'm riffing on a joke from the Blues Brothers.
Okay.
It's like
she's too young.
We allow both kinds of music in here.
Country and Western.
Country and Western.
No, I'm familiar with
that.
Yeah.
That's the one. So yeah. So anyway, yeah, Toby Keith made it to my pre-release EP party, which I thought was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And like he kind of like I was in the flow, I was talking about something and some people were coming in and they looked like they were having a difficult time. So I was like, "Hey, come on in everybody. You know, get in here. Like get in, close the thing so we can, you know, get going." And I look over and somebody's like, you know, dragging this cardboard cutout through
like, "Is that guy okay?"
Through the opening of the big old army tent that we were in and somebody's like, "Hey, it's Toby Keith." I'm like, "Oh my god, it's Toby Keith." So yeah. It was pretty sweet.
Program the AI voice for it, and you don't even need real Toby Keith anymore.
Yeah. That stuff's getting pretty scary. Like, the fact that it's, like, the whole voiceover thing is kind of bothering me, because that's sort of been my side gig for, I don't know, a couple of decades, you know?
I mean, welcome to the club. There's a whole bunch of people throughout history complaining about advances in technology, putting them out of work.
Yeah.
AI is the new immigrants.
And the libertarian position has always been, well, find something else to do.
Yeah.
Well, get
It'll
over
be
it.
Better for everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like there isn't a market for what I do still. It's just that, you know, I haven't really gone out and sought out new sources, right? I've just been sort of relying on repeat business up until now, and some of that repeat business is going away.
Organic voiceovers.
603-283-6160. We've got a whole bunch of fun stuff lined up for you. Coming up, including your calls, this is Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Former President Donald Trump criticized Ron DeSantis, his GOP presidential nomination rival, at a Las Vegas rally Saturday. Trump had this to say.
I'm not a big fan of his, and he's highly overrated.
He nicknamed him Ron DeSanctimonious and accused him of supporting minimum wage increases and Social Security cuts. President Biden is heading on a trip to Europe, attending the NATO summit, among other meetings. He's scheduled to arrive in London Sunday, then meet with King Charles and British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak on Monday. Tuesday, Biden will travel to Lithuania to participate in the NATO summit, where the primary focus will be Russia's conflict in Ukraine. Pope Francis announced his plans to appoint 21 new cardinals on September 30th of this year. The decision allows Pope Francis to influence the composition of the College of Cardinals, which will play a pivotal role in selecting his successor. John Schaefer, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free and we're talking. It's Free Talk Live.
Woo-hoo.
Weird how that works out.
What does that spell?
Give me an F.
Give me an R.
Give me an E twice. No, let's not do that.
I was a cheerleader back in the day, so I could do that if
were
I wanted to. I sure was, yeah.
During the break, maybe.
We got spirit. Yes, we do. No, yeah, no, everybody's giving me looks like I'm not a good cheerleader, so I guess I'll just stop.
I was just thinking of like there's bad cheers. There's like, Richie, he's our man. If he can't do it, somebody else will.
No, that was pretty on point with that. So I'm also a dancer, which doesn't involve me speaking, which people tend to like a little bit more.
Are you a solid gold dancer?
Sure.
That's way before your time as
well. Yeah, I know, but okay. Sure.
So before the internet, there was just television.
Oh.
No way.
So what is that?
Yeah, this is, you know, broadcast over the air, video and audio together.
Oh, okay.
They would have this show called Solid Gold, mm-hmm. and it was basically featuring popular music. They would have, this was the original lip sync television show, right? So they would have artists come on. If they were a whole band, they'd have all their instruments on stage, and it would look like they were playing their instruments, but they were really just lip syncing to the actual recorded music.
Yeah, I can't get down with that.
Well, and it was the only thing going on, so like they got away with
it. But maybe that's what I should stick to, probably.
But they had, because they knew that they were doing this sort of fake presentation, they had a bunch of dancers, you know, sort of scantily clad and, you
like
know.
Spears.
You know? Early versions of the pop dancers.
Yeah, it's
you
don't actually sing, so you have to do a whole dance routine to pretend it's okay that you're not singing.
The Fly Girls.
They had, I think it was Marilyn McCoo was one of the hosts, and Andy Gibb was one of the hosts for a while. They had Waylon Flowers and Madam, a comedian ventriloquist. On that show,
See, I'm more of a Soul Train girl, more of a disco girl.
Yeah, I love the Soul Train.
Yeah,
I mean, right? People used to just watch people dance on TV. Is that what you're telling me?
Dance to music that they'd already heard on the radio.
Oh man,
here's a quandary for you. Stand-up comedians, right? They will record, their show or whatever, a set of their material and put it out on. Like a CD or online, you know, as a file or, you know, an effort or whatever, and it'll be like an album-length thing, a half hour, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it is. And people will download it or buy a copy of it and take it home and listen to it and be like, yeah, that's really funny stuff. Yep. I really like this guy. He's really funny. The same thing happens with music, all right? If a musician puts out an album, people will go and download it, listen to it, and buy it, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and listen to it and be like, wow, these musicians are really good, really like this particular group. And so now they're in your favor. So now you've got your favorite musician and you've got your favorite comedian. Now, when you go to see the musicians perform live, you hope that the musicians are going to play your favorite song off of that album in particular, right? Or whatever it is, right? You hope that they play a song that you have heard 100 times before, right? You just want to hear them play it live. However, when you go and see that stand-up comedian that you like so much, and they tell a bit or a joke from that album that you've heard 100 times, you're disappointed. Why? What's the difference? What's the disconnect? Why is it that you can hear a song 100 times and be enthused for a performer to play that song live for you, and you're all like, yeah, and you know the songs, you know the words, but when a stand-up comedian goes and he performs a bit off of that same album that you love and you know and you've heard 100 times, you're like, I wish he'd have told a new joke.
So I can tell you, because jokes are different, because when you hear a really funny joke for the first time, you can't relive that moment. But there's something about live music, and maybe I'm very partial to music. I would pick a concert over a comedy show any day of the week. Like, you probably wouldn't catch me at a comedy show, but you will catch me at several concerts. There's something about the feeling and the emotion and the crowd response of live music that is completely different than when you're listening to it on vinyl or on CD or Bluetooth or whatever media device you're listening to it on. It's completely different. And you can't really recreate a joke. Like, you can, you know, especially with, like, jam bands, like, they make the song a little bit different, and there's different energy to it. You can't do the same thing with a joke.
So I'll take a shot at it as well, because Nikki touched on it. There's an emotional connection to the song, and there's not an emotional connection to the comedy. So Jimmy Carr, I think it's Jimmy Carr, kind of explained, like, the anatomy of a joke really well. I'm going to do a poor reproduction of it. They said, like, the way jokes get you, right, is there a setup, and there's an expectation, and the punchline goes against your expectation.
Right.
It's something bizarre, it's something absurd, it's something, you know, and that's what causes the laughter, and it's short-term, right? Having heard the joke before, you know the setup, you know the punchline. There's no breaking the absurd.
So there's no more gotcha.
It's like,
gotcha.
When somebody tells you a knock-knock joke and you've heard the answer before, so they're like, knock-knock, who's there, whatever, they go through it, and then
orange.
You're like, orange.
I'm glad I didn't say banana.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, if I can guess what the answer to the joke is, that makes it not funny.
Right.
But when I have no clue and you catch me off guard with something really witty and funny,
right,
that's something you can't recreate because I already know it in my brain.
Right.
Whereas a song, I know the words, but I can sing along to it, and I can dance to it, and they can change guitar riffs, and there can be a drum solo. There's more you can do there with music.
And I identify with what you're saying about the setup, sort of, you know, creating an expectation, and then the punchline is against that expectation. Right. That's what makes it funny. Anthony Jeselnik, in my opinion, he's probably one of my favorite comedians of the last 20 years anyway. Was the master of that. His setup would be over here, over here, over here, and then bam!
Right.
You know, he'd slide in this, like, way out of left field. You're like, oh, man. And it would be, like, near cringe, right? Okay. Not quite cringe, but near cringe. It would be, like, on the level, they're like, you would laugh anyway, but you'd at first be like, that's dirty, or that's sad, or that's mean, or whatever. Like, he walked that line very finely, but, like, it was always, like, out of left field, his punchlines were.
And that's what I enjoyed about him. And that's what creates the comedy.
Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We have Zephan calling from New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. I meant to call yesterday when the nudism topic was brought up, but I figure, you know, today's just as good of a day as any.
I have a question for you before you start.
Sure.
Are you naked right now?
So I'm in my own house, and 99% of the time that I'm in my own house, I am naked.
That's not a direct answer. You're an attorney. You got to learn to give direct answers when questioned.
All right. Okay.
Actually, that's pretty lawyer of him to, like, evade the question, but yet still provide an answer.
Well, I was trying to provide the answer implicitly, but yes, I am nude currently.
All right. Well, then you're on topic in more ways than one.
We will take you seriously now.
All right.
Continue.
So obviously, like, if you had to label these camps broadly, there's, like, the anti-nudist camp and the pro-nudist camp, but yesterday we actually had a group of 18 people that vehemently disagree on this issue come together and sit down. And we actually figured out that we had way more in common on our beliefs about nudity at Porkfest than we thought.
Isn't that usually what happens with most topics? Like, if you actually get together with people and have a civil conversation, you're like, oh, we actually have way more we agree with than we disagree with.
Maybe not on the topic you disagree
with. Not all the time, but...
Well, but just to provide some context, like, this was a topic that we were all debating on, like, for weeks online, and then we just sat down for a couple of hours, and, you know, it was like, oh, wow, okay, so we actually have things that we agree on, and we have, like, concrete steps of what to do for next Porkfest.
What's the consensus?
So the consensus is basically that the rules as they currently stand are too ambiguous, and they are not enforced. So if you look at the terms and conditions, it, you know, basically says things along the lines of, like, we have a right to change the rules anytime we want, and, like, the way that it refers to nudity is kind of wishy-washy. So what a lot of us proposed was that there's a section of the campground, that's known as, like, the party section, and it's, like, a pretty sizable, area in which it's kind of like anything goes, because nudity isn't the only problem. There's also noise, there's also, you know, like, if somebody is, like, tripping and, like, they have, like, a bad trip and they start screaming in the middle of the night, it's preferable that they're, you know, down the hill away from everybody up the hill that's trying to sleep.
Yeah.
So basically we could have these, different areas of the campground that are very clearly, specified on the Porkfest website when you buy the ticket, like, tent site 1 through 50 is, like, the party area, for example, and then campsite 51 through, 100 is, like, the non-party area.
Well, what a very, like, top-down approach to this.
Yeah, I mean, I like the ideas, and I like that people came together and discussed it and, you know, came up with solutions. That's all great stuff. And it's just more of an example of people working together without getting government involved to solve their problems, and this is great. My question, of course, is...
they came up with, like, more rules and regulations are necessary for
my question.
Well, there already are rules and regulations. They're just very ambiguous, and they're not enforced.
My question is, let's say I want to make a bunch of noise at my campsite, but all of the campsites in the, quote, noisy area, unquote, whatever that is, are filled.
Well, that's the thing, is that for some reason, when I walk around at Porkfest, it seems like the party sections or the agorist sections are actually fairly sparse. And like it's the family sections that end up getting picked up. So for example, at my stand, there were tons of empty spots, and it's down the hill in the agorist area. There were tons of empty spots directly across from me that nobody was actually occupying.
But
and
they were rented.
And it's about, well, that's unclear.
I was told that the campground sold out.
I heard that as well.
Well, then, I don't know. I guess that maybe is just the fault of Rogers.
Okay. I mean, this is a semantic, so I just wanted to ask, like, you know, was that, you know, part of your topic of discussion? What do we do if, you know, or maybe it goes the opposite way, right? Maybe all the family-friendly sites have sold out, but you want a family-friendly site. What do you do?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, so this is just an extension of that. It's, you don't even have to answer it. Just, you know, I assume these talks are ongoing and you guys are going to figure out how you're going to handle it. So, you know, put that sort of on your list of things to discuss.
Also, I want to state that this is kind of what's already been happening at Porkfest. Like, everybody knows up in the, you know, like, tent camping area, typically, you know, in certain areas of that, that's typically, like, where people with families are, the playgrounds up there.
Yep.
In Agora Valley, where the people that are, like, playing music and vending, typically that gets, you know, continues to be rowdy later on in the night. This was kind of already a natural thing.
So what
and
you're
I
saying
do
is
think
the bureaucracy is trying to catch up to the market.
I'm just saying, kind of, but what I'm saying is it's a very positive thing for Porkfest to outline this and be like, hey, you know, if you're new here, this is kind of how things go. This is what you can expect. So if somebody with kids is, you know, oh, I have an RV, so I'm going to camp down here, they can kind of expect, okay, well, this is kind of how it is down here, instead of being surprised and starting issues and blowing up the Porkfest attendee chat with, oh, people are being loud. Like, they can already kind of expect that that might happen later on in the night.
But you don't have to put that in the terms of service.
Well, I mean, I think that we see self-organization happening, right? And that is to say, to some extent, this sort of division in the campground has already occurred without any bureaucracy or any, you know, runners of the fest or whatever doing anything. All I see happening here is that they're just going to define it even further based on what has happened. And that's good for me.
Sure.
Right? I'm okay with these actions.
Non-governmental zoning of Porkfest. Got it.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, the big problem is the ambiguity. That's something that was stressed by, you know, quote unquote, both sides.
I also want to say it is a festival, right? Porkfest. It's not called Quiet Fest. It's not called Don't Do Anything After 10 p.m. Fest. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not
Go
called Everybody
right
Shut Up.
Well,
at, you know, yeah.
But also, I mean, it is important to note that there are people that live at Rogers seasonally, and some of those people were a little upset by the fact that certain people by where they live were being very late, because Rogers in general, I think, has a kind of like a quiet policy after something like 11
p.m.
It's
like, yeah, like quiet
and I don't,
those people out.
Well, I don't know if necessarily, well, some of those people are libertarians and they're coming for Porkfest,
right.
You know, do with that information what you will. But I don't know if those rules necessarily apply to Porkfest. To me, that wouldn't really make sense, because Porkfest is a little bit more like party, or I mean, it's a festival.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes it difficult, because there are people who, like, if you have a trailer and this is where you live, what are you going to do? You still want to attend Porkfest. So it kind of makes it a little bit difficult. But if it is outlined like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but like this is kind of how it is. And if it's outlined a little bit more, I think it makes, you know, less need for discussion and the back and forth and kind of the animosity that has arisen from the situation. If it's like, hey, I know you might not like it, but like this is just kind of how it is. It's outlined and, you know, you should have expected this. And if you really, really have an issue with it after 11 p.m. or whenever you want to go to bed, maybe, you know, either get some earplugs or leave or whatever. Like, there needs to be a personal solution for the issue.
There's this impersonal thing that's happening just in society in general that used to not occur because of the internet, right? And that is, if something like this happened pre-internet, like, let's say I was one of the owners of one of these trailers and I lived there seasonally or whatever, and this festival was going on. First of all, I'm, you know, a pretty forgiving guy. I'm like, well, it's a festival. They're going to be loud.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably. But if I did get annoyed by somebody nearby or in the area or whatever, the first thing I'm going to do is walk over to them and be like,
yeah,
hey, man, it's like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
you know,
turn
can
it
you,
down.
Can you turn down the music a little bit? I just live over here, you know, kind of a thing. Like, what I see happening is people get annoyed, and then they turn to the chat room instead of, like,
let's have a face-to-face
human. Like, like, that should be the first thing everybody does, but it doesn't feel like that's happening.
They're trying to build a base. They're rallying the troops behind them so they have a stronger argument.
So something I've also heard from another, like, a seasonal person that lives there is, like, okay, but if they're being loud at, like, midnight or 2 a.m., I'm already in bed, you know, maybe, you know, this person is, you know, in their jammies and their boxers, naked, however they sleep. It is kind of inconvenient to have to fully dress and walk all, you know, walk down there and be like, hey, turn it down.
Yeah, so, like,
so, and I do kind of get that as well, but it is a festival.
They want to outsource their outrage. Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Absolutely.
I think that this actually is the best solution for everybody, because it allows for the people that do want to throw all-night ragers to do so and have complete justification for it, to be like, hey, this is the spot to do it.
Yep.
I'm not, like, at the top of the hill. I'm not here or there. And then it also allows the nudists, too, to, like, walk up and down the aisles of, like, this designated area. So they actually have, like, more freedom than before. And then if anybody gives them a problem, it's like, hey, like, right at the very beginning when you bought this ticket, you saw that if you walked in these areas at night, like, you would hear a lot of loud noises, you would see people walking around, like, you know,
more,
it's
more
all,
freedom
it's
than
all
before, because we added more rules and regulations to the terms and services.
I mean,
well,
I just,
they're already there, they're just ambiguous.
Yeah, and I think it just makes it, you know,
ambiguity and rarely enforced rules make for a lot of freedom.
Well, they also make for a lot of conflict.
Sure.
Yeah,
you know, like, and I think that we're seeing that.
I do think this is a positive way to kind of resolve some of the conflict. And if I could, you know, just voice my opinion, I think that if I think that if we could have, because I know the Mises Caucus tent is right by some of the trailers, and that was a they were playing like really loud rap music.
Oh, it's not
at, like,
Mises
two
anymore, though. It's the,
well, whatever, whoever they are, they used to be Mises. Whoever they are now,
they changed it.
There were the trailers are right there. They're right across from the trailers, and they play really loud rap music until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I think somebody like that, maybe it would be a good idea to move them a little bit further down. Like, if you are planning on partying and playing really loud music, a little bit further down. And I know Richie Rich is shaking his head because he's like, ugh, more rules.
Here's,
but
the, here's the stupid thing about everything that's being said so far.
Go ahead.
Right? The idea of Porkfest is to demonstrate to the rest of society, generally, right, how an anarchist society could operate.
Right.
Right? And all you're doing is turning it into the rest of society with zoning and rules.
Not
and you gotta
really,
go do,
though.
Yes.
This is how a voluntary
zoning
society is going to work, though.
You need to set up expectations
and, you know, kind of work with your neighbors so everybody, so there's a positive solution for everyone involved.
Here's what I'd rather see, then. Instead of terms of service, right, like a beginner's guide to Porkfest. Generally, this is where the nudists hang out. Generally, this is where the families go, right? It's not a guarantee, but generally that's what you can expect. If you go to this area, you're going to see more nudists than you are going to see families.
Right.
Will you see families in the nudist area? Sure. Will you see nudists in the family area? Sure. Right? But generally, this is where it is.
Yeah.
Not like a hard and fast enforceable rule. You agreed in the terms of service to not violate the whatever by walking out of the nudist area without putting on any clothes and families going over here.
And I agree with you. I think that would be a better solution than, like, here are the, you know, like, cut and dry rules and blah, blah, blah. This, you have to, you know, we're going to enforce this, I think, like a more, you know,
you're
like
supposed to be showing the rest of society how an anarchist society is set up, and you're not.
I disagree with you for two reasons. The first reason is that I think that we're actually failing at showing what an anarchist society would look like. I think that, like, that all of this controversy and all of this, conflict is actually showing that maybe this can't work. Honestly, this has been the best argument that, like, minarchism works, because it's like, and I don't want that to be. So how I think a true anarchist society would play out is you would have complete freedom of association, and you would have it so that, let's say that in anarchist New Hampshire, you would guaranteed have, like, places that are, like, covenant communities that would be pure Christian, you know, there would be no nudity, like, there would be no prostitution, anything like that. but it would be like a purely voluntary agreement amongst those people. And then on the flip side, there would be like super duper, like, you know, for lack of a better term, I guess, like libertine places in which like there's like prostitution and there's drugs everywhere and stuff like that.
Yeah, but if you have rules to set that up, right, from the top down, right, that violates the principle.
Here's what I like.
What happens is those would naturally occur, and you needn't put all the bureaucracy on top of it.
Right. Here's what I liked, because you guys are both touching on the topic. Actually, all of us are touching on the topic of consent, right? And what I really liked was the, what's it called, the Body Freedom...
Body Freedom Village.
The
nudists.
They printed out these little flags.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went around to every campsite, found whoever was in charge of that site, and said, hey, we're with the Body Freedom Village or whatever. Are you friendly to us? You know, if we come over here and somebody's topless or whatever, like, is that cool? And explicitly got consent from every mm-hmm. site that they visited, and then also put up this little flag that says, we're Body Freedom Friendly. Right, BFFs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that to me is the anarchist solution.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I thought that was great.
Because, again, it's the site owner.
Yes.
Right? Not the communes.
Right. It's not Rogers. It's not whoever's running Pork Fest.
Right.
It's the campsites themselves. So whoever was, you know, whoever heard of the conflict or wanted to avoid conflict, they took it upon themselves to print up these things and go around to every campsite. Like, this is a lot of effort. There's a bunch of campsites at Rogers,
yeah.
right? Took a lot of effort and just went around to everybody and said, hey, are you friendly to us if we come around here? And then they were like, either yes or no. And so they either got a flag or they didn't. It was really easy to identify which sites were friendly to them and which ones weren't. And so if that were to have spread, I think, a little more, like, naturally, like, in the chat rooms, hey, this is what we're doing, a little more advertisement mm-hmm. for this is our solution, I think that would have gone a long way to prevent some of this this internet outrage. And I say that because what's happening is the squeaky wheel is getting the grease, right?
Yeah.
This problem is not widespread. This nudist problem is not widespread. It's a very tiny piece of what happened at, you know, a week, almost 2 weeks of the festival, if you include Fork and Spork, right, is a very tiny thing that most people didn't even know was happening. And it wasn't until after the fest that it sort of blew up online and in the chats and all that kind of stuff. So it's the squeaky wheel getting the grease.
Well, those BFF signs that came up, which I had on my side, and people were allowed to do that and all that, that came as a result of people, of there being like a vacuum of like rules, basically, of like, oh, well, what are the rules around this thing? Is it like a free-for-all? Is it whatever? So something else that the, you know, broadly what you can call them, the anti-body freedom people, I don't like calling them that because it's more nuanced,
yeah.
But what they say is that this is called a clothing optional festival, which would also be more clarity than there is now.
Hey, Zeffin, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. Keep up the good work, man. 603-283-6160. We've got more of your calls coming up. Plus, we've got some other fun stuff in store for you. Hour number two of Free Talk Live is next.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.